invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 16 to 21 of John chapter 3. Very, 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 very well-known passage. And it fits in nicely with our worship theme for this fall, Love Like God in a Loveless World. World seems crazy and confused sometimes, doesn't it? How do we love in a world like this? How can we apply John 3:16 to our task of being people of love in this world? Text goes like this: For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Let us pray together. Lord our God, this text is so familiar to many of us. Make it new and fresh again, that we might live its timeless truths in our world, and so that others might know, too, just how great your love is and how far it extends. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I really enjoy documentaries. Do you? This is one of my favorites, the series Planet Earth. Have you ever seen that part or all of it? Got this for Christmas one year. It's almost a book of DVDs covering just all of the beauty of God's earth. It says Planet Earth on there, as you've never seen it before. Anybody else like documentaries? Saw another one this summer on Henry Ford that was very interesting. I've never seen Henry Ford in such depth and learned his story. Maker of cars in the United States. I have a confession, however, perhaps our biggest documentarian, the guy who is best known for his documentaries, I don't think I've ever seen one of his films. You know who I'm talking about? Ken Burns. A man who has done more documentaries than probably anybody. He's the number one name associated with documentaries now. And he loves to take our history and our culture and turn that into a documentary film using vintage photographs and period music, and he's done quite a few of them. He's done one on the Brooklyn Bridge, one on the Statue of Liberty. Very recently, he did one on the national parks because we celebrated 100 years of national parks. But the one he's best known for, did he do that one too, the Civil War? Okay, there was another one I was thinking of. It's 18 hours long, the one on America's favorite sport, baseball. Yeah, you remember that one? He did that one too. He's done quite a few, I guess. One on jazz. He's done one on radio. And he's done another one that starts tonight. The Vietnam War, okay? Have you heard how many hours it is? I don't know. I don't know that I want to commit that amount of time, but anyway, I'm sure it will be hours and hours of documentary on this famous moment in our own history. What do you think? Could we do a documentary on God's love? Could we tell the story of what God's love is doing in our world or doing in Nobleboro? Could we create a film called Love Like God in a Loveless World? Let's just think about it a little bit, okay? What would we need to make a documentary, to make a film? We would need a soundtrack, wouldn't we? We would need some film footage, some visuals, of course, because film is very visual. And we need some advertising, too. We got to get the word out that we've created this film so that people would watch it. Let's talk about these three components. Soundtrack. Have you ever been down Interstate 81 heading south? You cross a lot of different states, and one that you cross is called Tennessee, I think it is. And when you cross into Tennessee, there's a big sign there, like there is when you cross into most states, and it says, "Welcome to Tennessee." And you know what the slogan is there underneath? I love it. It's probably because I'm from Tennessee. It says, "Welcome to Tennessee, the soundtrack of America." And I think that's true. In the West, you've got Elvis, right? Started us off down the road of rock and roll. In the center, you have Nashville, Music City, USA. And then in the East, you have Dolly Parton, bluegrass, all that good stuff. So Tennessee has provided the soundtrack for America. What's going to provide the soundtrack for our documentary on love? I bet a lot of you are going to say John 3:16. God is love. What better verse do we have than this? John 3:16 will be our soundtrack. But I'm going to humbly submit to you, I think we need more. We need a little bit more. We've got to beef up our soundtrack. Now remember, I didn't say different. I didn't say better. Because we're going to use John 3:16, but we're really going to get at what Jesus is saying here. These are the words of our Lord, and they say, "For God so loved the world." For God so loved the world. The ancient word here, because Jesus speaking these words, John writing them down did not speak English. The ancient word here is cosmos. For God so loved the cosmos. And that means everything. That means the world. And that reminds me of another documentary series, Cosmos by Carl Sagan. A mere 13 hours long, done back in 1980. I haven't seen that one either. Has anybody seen Cosmos by Carl Sagan? He's an astronomer, and he narrated it, and the reason it's so popular is because it just laid out the universe for everyone to see and to know. He took complex topics like black holes and stars and planets and made them understandable. He explained the universe to the American television audience. And what Jesus is talking about here is the universe. It's everything. Now you're going to say to me, "Pastor, I thought this verse was about my need for salvation, my need for Jesus." And it is. Because you're a part of that world. And humans need salvation more than anything else. We have undoubtedly screwed up our world, haven't we? I've even been in Bible studies before where people have said, "Take out that word world, put in a blank, and now put in your name, 'For God so loved Stan,' 'For God so loved Stephanie,' 'For God so loved Rachel,' whoever, that he gave his only begotten son." That is totally true, but the truth is a heck of a lot more. Remember this past Sunday when I was giving you a summer faith lift? And the way I explained it was like, it's like a choir. You go in and you hear a choir, and you say, "Wasn't that a beautiful choir?" But it's only sopranos that are singing. Somebody else would say, "What about the bass? What about the tenors? What about the altos?" What we have here is a full, rich soundtrack of God's love. And we focus just on one part of it, our own salvation. That's important. I need it, believe it or not. You need it too. But frankly, what Jesus says here is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." So there, we've got our soundtrack, John 3:16. Some of you might think we've put the cart in front of the horse. Or as we might say around here, we put the lobster pot in front of the boat. Okay. Before the soundtrack, we've got to have some visuals. So let's talk about that. What are we going to film? What would we videotape for our documentary? We need some visuals. There's probably no book that's more visual in the Bible than the book of Revelation, and that's why I have that for you there in your responsive reading today. The book of Revelation, I think, can provide us with some visuals for our film on love. Some of you are going to be saying, what? I thought Revelation was about judgment and the end of time. It is. But if we rush ahead to the end of time, we see what God has preserved, what God has seemed to find valuable, and what God is holding on to. And it's a lot more than just us floating around on clouds and playing a harp with angel wings sprouting out of our back. We have a much richer picture here, and we get that in the book of Revelation. The reason we have all this richness is because God so loved the world. I want to just briefly look at a few of those things in your responsive reading there. Maybe you picked them out. In the book of Revelation, it talks about that tree being in the city, and its leaves are used for the healing of the nations. What? The healing of the nations. There's still nations around. There's still healing that's going on. I believe that God wants relationships healed and restored, and that is His will. And I don't know how He's going to do it or what's going to happen, but I believe there's going to be some intense work going on, and relationships will be healed. Jesus gives us a clue of that even just a few moments after he was raised from the dead. And he went up to Peter, who had denied him, and healed that relationship, right? Didn't go up to Peter and say, Peter, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm raised from the dead. Let's forget the past. It's a whole new world now. No, he says, Peter, do you love me? And he restored Peter to that relationship. And I think relationships that we have that are broken, that are damaged, may well find their healing through from now until eternity. I think God loves our lives. We find here, right in the middle there, it talks about that right gathered around the throne is a crowd, a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And we're not all speaking English, okay? God is gathering the Chinese and the French and the people speaking African languages, and he seems to cherish those. He has gathered them there, and they are using their languages to praise God. And then down toward the bottom, it says there, the glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. What does that mean? What glory, what honor is going to be brought into this great city? I think the things that we're doing now might well be of such quality and such praise to God that they will last throughout eternity. I would love to see some of your quilts hanging in the throne room of God. Why not? That could be the glory and the splendor that's brought in, that waving in the heavenly breeze. I would love to see a Tennessee dulcimer still used to praise God. Why not? Just going to be dismissed? God says he loves it all. And this glory and splendor is brought into the kingdom of God. Not included in this responsive reading is Revelation 19, which talks about the wedding supper of the Lamb. That final scene is going to be this big banquet of all God's people. How about a lobster bake? Are we going to have to give up our lobsters? It's fun to dream about. God loves the world so much. Creation itself, as we read through this responsive reading, we see there's a river coming through the city. There's this beautiful city. There's a tree of life. We've got some visuals here. God, who is preserving our world, who is making it new, and that's how we concluded that responsive reading. The one sitting on the throne, God himself, who says, I am making everything new. It's not just going to be clouds and people sitting strumming a harp. It's going to be full. It's going to be rich. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to blow your socks off. I don't think any of us has even a clue what's coming. It's going to be that wonderful. I have no idea what Avis is experiencing right now. But Revelation is in the future. Speaking of right now, what about right now? What about this afternoon? What about Monday morning? What does this have to do with the way you are living your lives right now? What I want to say to you is, if you are going to love like God, if you want to go out of here and love your community, love this world, love your family, love your home, love your land, your property, whatever, you're not going to be able to put the world behind you, because it says there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He even sent his Son to die so that God might be able to say from the throne, I am making all things new. So I think as you go out from here and you work on that quilt, you plan that lobster bake, you take care of the water quality in Damariscotta Lake, or whatever. These are acts that God will honor, and some of them might even be preserved into the future. Remember this text about wood, hay, and stubble from the Apostle Paul? Listen to this. This is really good. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that's what we do here at First Baptist. We don't want any other foundation, just Jesus. That's all that matters, okay? If anyone builds on this foundation, and that's what we're doing here in church and our work in the community, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, capital D, will bring it to light. I've got some goosebumps going on here. I'm sorry. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So of those things being built on the foundation, gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and straw, what burns? Wood, hay, and straw, right? What remains? So I think what Paul is saying here, some of our works will remain. Why? For God so loved the world. And that's why we need to advertise this documentary that we're playing around with, right? What are we going to do to advertise it? We're going to go to McDonald's or Burger King or something and say, oh, make some little toys that you can throw in a bag and give to my grandkids. These are minions. Some of them even talk, okay? Some of them even shoot things. What are we going to do to get the word out? Just what we're doing and what you're doing. You are the advertising campaign for this. As you go out from here and do whatever it is in the community, the way you mow the lawns, the way you care for your lakefront property, the way you build your home, the way you stitch that quilt, that can be a witness to God's love. And I want you to say that to people. God loves the world, and I do too, and that's why I do the things I do. To honor him. You could just do it as a good deed. There's lots of good deeds out there. We're seeing it right now with the response to Hurricane Harvey and Irma. There's lots of people being done. People doing good things. But you as a Christian, when you do something, it's a lot more than a good deed. It can be a witness to the future. It can be a witness to God's love. And why not say that to people as you do things? Last week I gave you some homework, and that was to ask yourself before you do or say anything, how is love motivating this? How is love going to push me to do whatever I feel like I've got to say or do? What I want you to do now, this is your homework for this week, is when you look at anything around you, anything, ask yourself, does God love this and how? What does that love look like in this loveless world? And how can I show that love? Now, between you and me, there's a lot of ugly things in the world, too. And that's the other use of this term in the New Testament. Some of you are probably thinking, wait, the Bible says don't love the world. That's the corrupt world. That's Satan's world. What Jesus is talking about here is the world that God has made and loves enough to die for. Okay? You ready to be advertising agents? I'm going to send you out into the world now. And you're going to live this, for God so loved the world. You're going to go out and do things. You're going to talk to that relative that you haven't talked to in a while. You're going to mow your lawn in a new way, right? You're going to stitch that quilt, with a little bit of lilt and pep in your step, right? Because these are ways in which we can show the world that God's love is that big. Isn't that amazing? I have to say, I think sometimes the God that we have settled for is the half-mighty and not the almighty. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, and all we get concerned about is our own little worlds or our own soul. But God loves it all. And from his throne, he says, behold, I am making all things new. That's how great his love is for the world. We're going to close and sing together. He's got the whole world in his hands. Some of you are going to think, oh, it's a little kid's song. How nice, how sweet. This is rock solid truth. He does have the whole world in his hands. He loves it. He loves it enough to die for it. I'm going to invite you to stand and sing together. Number 43 in your hymnal.